call the meeting to order, please. Okay, one, two, three, four, we had five. There he is, okay, fine. The agenda, is the agenda appropriate as you see it? If there are no additions or corrections to the agenda, I'll consider it approved unanimously. Minutes of September 13th, 2007, are there any additions, corrections, modifications to the minutes? If not, without objection, they're approved. And I would like to make a quick comment that these are good action minutes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good action minutes. The next item is the Safety Improvement Program update. We have a very significant amount of effort going on right now to enhance our safety. And Mr. Francis, will you be speaking to this?
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, Polly Hansen, the Assistant General Manager of Safety, Security, and Emergency Management, and I are here today to brief you on the Safety Improvement Program. Next slide. We are on a journey to improve our safety performance. We will make Metro, from the workers' standpoint, the safest place in Washington Metro area. With this statement from the General Manager and with the Board approval, we began our Safety Improvement Program. In order to accomplish the goal of reducing the number of workers' comp claims and incidents and injuries by 50% over the next 5 years, Metro contracted DuPont Safety Resources to assist in the development of a more robust safety improvement program. Next slide. We started the assessment phase in June with a survey to the employees on the perception on safety at the authority. We interviewed employees. 27 work sites were visited in bus, rail, Carmen Turner, JGB. Historical analysis of all claims were reviewed. And in the last couple of weeks, we have begun to share what we learned with our employees through a series of briefings throughout this agency and the divisions, both bus, rail, and out in Carmen Turner. Our findings, the surveys and the interviews, we found that close to more than 87% of the employees felt that safety at Metro should be improved. Rules are inconsistently followed. And from a standpoint of the Deputy General Manager, I just want to comment on that, is that from a bus, rail, and access service standpoint, we have to adhere to every work instruction and rule and procedure that is out there. We've taken a big step back. What we've done is we're reviewing all of our procedures, all of our rules, to first make sure that they comply with all the work, excuse me, all the work that's being done out there, and that all of our employees actually fully understand what the intent of the rule is. We've gone back through those, and we're about halfway through the review process, but at the same time, we have initiated some programs, too. We have a zero tolerance program for our right-of-way employees, which means that before anybody enters the right-of-way, they are to contact the control center, get permission to do so. It's zero tolerance because, you know, I would not have anybody enter that right-of-way with the number of trains that we have working out there every day and the equipment and so forth. We have to be responsible for our actions. Personal protective equipment, we've done our evaluation there, and in certain areas in our shop and facility areas, our employees are not wearing the safety equipment, vests or hard hat, whatever is required. And we are working to reduce employee injuries. We are working extremely hard to expand our modified duty program, which in some areas are called restricted duty or light duty program. Next step, to develop better business practices, and part of that is what we've done already to improve our work rules and procedures, and to launch our local safety committees, which are the committees that will be more at a local level in each bus and rail division. Let me set that up. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
One quick question. Yes. Mr. Francis, what has been the involvement of the local unions on the safety initiative?
I'm sorry?
The unions at the different facilities, what has been their level of involvement?
The Unions have been involved in this initiative from day one. They have participated in all of the training programs, they have been involved in the briefings. We've had, I guess, probably monthly meetings. And we, from a personal standpoint, from both Polly and I, we have sat with Ms. Jeter and Roland and to sit down and strategize exactly what needs to be done from a worker standpoint. We are both very concerned about our employees who are on the right of way, our track inspectors, and we have a meeting set up in the next couple of weeks to talk about that.
Any other questions? I assume you'll be coming back to us on a regular basis to let us know how this study progresses and what we've accomplished?
That's correct.
Okay, well, thank you. Next item, which is yours again, communication initiative.
Okay. Okay. Waiting for it to get back.
There it is. Okay. In achieving our vision of being the best ride in the nation, I've asked Ray Feldman to lead this effort, and he will now give a brief presentation on our path forward.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman of the committee. I've put up there on the slide what may be one of the biggest understatements that's ever been said in this room, is that we need to do a better job of how we communicate with our customers, especially during unplanned service disruptions. I know you all have felt or said from time to time through the years that we need to do a better job in this area. Mr. Noname was the most recent person to point this out as recently as last month, and we understand that this is an area where we need to do better. And there are several situations, many situations, where we can and will improve communication. When a train is offloaded, we need to tell customers why and how long we think it'll take to clear. We need to let customers know of events that are occurring elsewhere in the system that may impact their trip. If you're on the orange line or the blue line, it would be helpful for you in times to know there's something going on the red line, because that may impact what options you have in terms of transferring from one line to another. And we need to consistently tell passengers why a train is stopped. If it's in a tunnel or not in a station, for example, you get back to the policy that we used to have of we stop, we tell, because in this day and age that we're in, with so many things that can happen in our system, when you're stopped in a tunnel and there's no communication for about 20 to 30 seconds, you can see the look of concern start to register on people's face, and they want to make sure that it's just something routine and something relatively minor. And once they hear that it is, they go back to their newspapers or their iPods, and everything is fine. Next slide. We do a great job, and we have the concerts and baseball games and events and even weather-related incidents where we know what's coming in advance. We can communicate and coordinate and cooperate within the authority and with agencies outside the authority. But unfortunately, it's the unplanned events, the service disruptions, the delays, the incidents where we don't do quite as well. And quite frankly, you know, that's the area where we need to focus our attention. That's where we need to do a better job. Right now, the folks in the OCC who are focused on resolving this issue are focused on exactly that. They are focused on incident recovery and getting the service up and running as quickly as they possibly can. And in some cases, communications sort of becomes almost a second priority or an afterthought. And we need to make it a first priority, and I'll talk in a second about the best way to do that. We've also created some unrealistic expectations in the minds of our customers. We create situations where the minute we have an incident or a disruption, we tell people to go upstairs and catch a shuttle bus. And the truth of the matter is, at times, it can take 30, 40 minutes for the first shuttle buses to even arrive at the scene. And as you all know, getting the hundreds of people that have been offloaded from a train onto a few shuttle buses that were able to get to the scene of an incident creates immediate frustration for our customers, because there's no way you can put 10 pounds of sugar in a 5-pound bag. And there's no way you can put all those rail customers on a few shuttle buses that are going to take 45 minutes to get there. So by making shuttle bus the automatic default solution every time we have one of these incidents, we're almost creating for ourselves a sense of automatic frustration on our customers' part. So we have to give them other options and other solutions. Next slide. The word of the customers, based on market research that we've done, customers have told us over and over and over again that what they really want is clear, consistent, and honest information, because the root of the problem for the customer and a lot of the customer frustration is based on sort of their lack of control in these kind of situations. And as you can see, some of the market research that the communications department has done, it shows exactly those two quotes right there are exactly taken from the market research that show exactly what people feel in this kind of a situation. And so we need to communicate whatever we know as soon as we know it to our customers. We have to provide sufficient information where the customers understand what's going on. And the bottom line is, and the most important thing is, they want to be told the truth. Next slide. Some of these things may seem obvious, but they're the kind of things that we don't do over and over again here that we need to start doing over and over again here, is we need to refocus our efforts on providing clear, consistent, and honest communication, using everyday language that our customers understand. I think we've all been in situations where we've been on a train and we hear somebody say that this car is going to be isolated or this train is going to be cut, and customers are looking, trying to figure out whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. And so we need to just explain in everyday language exactly what that means and tell customers what we know, even if we don't have all the details. I think sometimes we are so eager to try to collect all the information before we start communicating with the customers that it can create a 10 or 15 or 20 minute delay, because sometimes the information doesn't come together quite as quickly as we would like it to. And the most important thing is helping customers understand what their transportation options are during these delays and disruptions and incidents. Every customer should know at least three other ways to get home besides their normal route. I think we all know from driving, if we're out on the highway and we hear on the radio or we see on one of the overhead message signs that there's a major delay in the normal route that we take, we automatically kick in our head to how, what are my other options? How am I going to get off the route that I normally take home? And what two or three other ways could I look at for able to get to my destination? Same thing applies here. If you're used to being the red line rider and all of a sudden we're telling you avoid the red line, there's major delays, you know, you should have in your mind, okay, now what do I do? Next slide. So that's sort of a statement of where we are and what we believe we need to do. So what are we going to do about it? Some of the first steps that we want to take a look at are providing communication personnel in the Operations Control Center that are dedicated strictly to communicating and not restoring service. When there are these delays and service disruptions, the folks who are in the OCC are focused on getting the service back. When there is a communication person standing side by side next to them, handling all forms of communication. What goes out on the public address announcements, what gets put up on the PID signs, what gets put on the internet, what we tell the media, make sure that it's all consistent. That will enable the people in the OCC to focus strictly on the incident and on operations. Deputy General Manager Gerald Francis put together a communications matrix team of employees from all parts of this organization, rail, bus, access services, transit police, safety, and also very importantly, the Riders Advisory Council. We've met once, we're going to meet again, but in the meeting that we had so far last month, we got a lot of great ideas and suggestions from the Riders Advisory Council, and we're going to continue to use them as a source of information. Outreach to organizations. It seems simple, but when we have these major incidents, we need to reach out to organizations such as the Board of Trade, the American Red Cross, and the business improvement districts, because there are going to be times, for example, like the DuPont Circle incident that we had in early August, that when we're kicking hundreds of people out of the station for, you know, very good reasons, and they're on the street in 102-degree temperatures, maybe something as simple as getting them bottled water while they're out there from the Red Cross or from one of the bids, the Golden Triangle bid or the downtown DC bid, is something that could make the customer's experience a little less frustrating. One of the things that we heard from the Matrix team meeting is that we also want to provide support to our employees who are at the scene of these incidents, and it could be something as simple as handheld radios or scanners for station managers. We're going to provide these because right now the way that our station managers get information is by a telephone call to the kiosk. And if they have to leave the kiosk to go help customers or to go down to the platform to provide assistance, they're cut off from that sort of communication and knowing what's going on, and they have to rely on public address announcements and PID signs to get their information. Handheld microphones so that station managers, while they're getting this information, can be talking and walking at the same time, providing assistance and communicating to large numbers of employees and customers in the station, so people aren't lined up to talk to station managers one-to-one. Dry erase boards where you can put quick, easy to understand information in areas before customers even pass through the fare gates, so that they know there's a major problem in that station or on that line, they can head back out and look at some other transportation options. And updating brochures with station-specific information in them, so that if you're in a station and you're going to be you have to go somewhere else because that station is being closed or that line is being affected, you get information here about what bus routes already serve that station, not shuttle buses, but what existing bus routes already serve that station, and how close the next rail stations are that perhaps you can walk to. I think we have to get beyond the idea that walking is always a bad thing. Walking can sometimes be a good thing for those who can do it, rather than having people waiting and waiting and waiting for a long line to get on a shuttle bus. Bottom line, next station, next slide. In summary, how we communicate with our customers is going to be an ongoing, ever-evolving process. We have to continuously improve based on the experiences that we have and the feedback that we get. We have to communicate early and often. We have to be willing to admit we don't know when we don't know. We have to give our customers options so they know what transportation decisions we can make. We have to implement some of these things that we talked about today, and we will, the radios, the brochures, maps, also handheld microphones. We are committed to not only making this the best ride in the nation, but the best ride in the nation also has to be that we're the best communicators in the nation. And we're committed to doing that. We think we've got off to a great start, and we look forward to coming back to you and updating you in future meetings about, you know, how this effort is progressing.
Mr. Francis.
I just wanted to thank Michael and the RAC committee. I know the first meeting, it kind of looked like we were going back and forth, but we got a lot of information, and a lot of the information that Ray just presented came from the RAC committee, so I just wanted to say that.
Well, Mr. Feldman, that was an excellent presentation. I really appreciate it. Mr. Cato, I think you and your staff are on a very, very good tangent, or a very, very good direction. One of the things that I think is critical in emergency situations is information, and I think our customers are empowered when they know what the situation is to the best of our knowledge, and we all recognize that early on we may not know what the problem is, we may not know how long it's going to extend, we may not know how difficult it will be to fix, but that letting our passengers know that we don't know certain things at the present time empowers them to make their own decisions and gets them to the point where they can figure out what to do next. I think it's very important for them to understand that and to be able to move forward, and you're putting together a mechanism for providing that kind of information to our customers, I think is very, very important. One other comment before I go to Mr. Giancola and Ms. Hewitt. I also think one of the comments that Mr. Feldman made that is very important is our ability to immediately solve problems with alternative transportation is in fact limited. Bus bridges take time to put together. There are a limited number of buses that can show up. Those buses don't have the capacity that rail cars do. That's the reason we have our whole rail system, is so that we can move very large numbers of people very quickly. Buses will never be able to do that. So there's a limitation in our ability to really meet the needs of the customers that are stuck in an emergency. Understanding that and giving people then the power to decide what they want to do based on the best information, I think is a critical, critical step. And I think you've made a major move here trying to find ways to provide that kind of information to people. I really appreciate it. I think that's great. Mr. Gene.
Yeah, I too want to thank the staff for presenting this report. This really is the most important thing we can do at this point in the operations. I've been a 27-year user of Rail Metro daily, and I can tell you, I have never had to use a shuttle. Now, that doesn't mean others don't, but nonetheless, you know, I always wondered when they said, okay, you can go to the catch a shuttle, and how long it would take. So you gave me some input on that, so that's an important thing. I want to add that a more critically important thing is to get engaged the station manager. They seem to be disconnected sometimes with what's going on in the operations. And in fact, that person can be, as a person arrives at a metro station, the Rail Metro, can advise folks of what the situation is. And maybe, to some degree, it may be even more personalized with, say, a system at the station that they can actually talk on, mm-hmm. talk to people in a general sense, not one-to-one, but as a mm-hmm. broadcast message. I know you hear broadcast messages throughout the system. It would be nice to have the station manager have the capability and to be able to say, oh, by the way, folks, there is a delay on the red line, even though it may say on the PID just to remind them that it could be a delay. I had a very pleasant experience a month or so ago when the rail operator on a red line coming from Tacoma, where I get on, going down to Union Station at Fort Totten, noticed that there was a delay. He told us what the delay was. It was a long delay. And he said, by the way, I'm going to open the doors at Fort Totten. If you want to catch the green line going to downtown another way, you may want to use that option. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we may be here a while. If you need to use the restrooms. You know, so he gave options like that, which to me is very personal, very important in articulating this. So the connection of the station managers is important. I think a training program training our operators to articulate and talk more slowly sometimes is very helpful. As you get older, like I am, I don't hear as well. So sometimes if you talk very fast, even though I'm a New Yorker and talk fast, it's still helpful if you articulate and slow down the conversation and make people more at ease in that sense. So that's what I wanted to offer, but thanks for the briefing.
Thank you very much. If I may, Mr. Benjamin, member of the committee, I have here a list from Dan Epps. Right now, we have handheld microphones in about a dozen of our stations. And for those of you who had the pleasure of going next door to the Gallery Play Station when there was a sporting event, the station manager used to be there, Malcolm, who would walk around with a handheld microphone, and as he was engaging and talking to customers, he would be reminding everyone in the station to buy their return trip fare cards now so they wouldn't have to be in long lines when the event was over. That sort of handheld microphone where the station manager can communicate with everyone in that station simultaneously as opposed to having to do one-on-one type of communication is critical. And part and parcel with that is if that station manager can have a handheld radio where he or she can get updated information from the OCC that can be immediately communicated to everyone in that station on a handheld microphone, I think that will go a long way to accomplishing exactly what you just pointed out.
Ms. Hewlett?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Francis, Mr. Feldman, and Mr. Snyder, and the members of RAC. This is a very thorough report, and I'm really, really pleased. And every time as you were going through your presentation, there were so many things I wanted to comment on as outstanding recommendations and really good. And then when you got to the end of it, I realized they were really all that good. So I can't comment on each one, and I won't. I think the handheld mic idea is great because you can reach a larger number of riders in a short period of time, and that's imperative. There's so many things here that are great, and particularly working also with the other organizations to assist, like even if it's a sweltering day, it's just something as simple as a bottle of water mm-hmm. you indicated. And I think that's great, and you put people at ease and make them feel very, very comfortable. Even when you don't know mm-hmm. what's going on. People rather know that you don't know. So I think that's imperative. And I particularly like the last line that starts today. So
exactly.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, other comments, questions? Mr. Yule.
Yeah, I apologize coming in catching the tail end of this, but certainly important. And it's important as we follow on with the discussion later on this morning relative to bus fares and increases and budget impacts and so forth, how we communicate. because I think the reality of it all is that the customers, the riders, don't really give a hoot about what the fares are unless they really have a strong feeling and sense that the service delivery and the infrastructure and everything else, all those things are being taken care of. But it's really a matter of communication, public relations, customer service, business friendly, all of the above. And I just think that as a system, we have been, this is where we've been very weak and very poor. And from what I hear from some of the riders, the personnel in our stations just really don't even consider them to be essentially human beings. They're just sort of like mechanical robots, people, things that are just going in and out constantly, consistently. So there has to be a culture change and an attitude change. I like what I see here. It's more. This is what we can do, but I I'm coming in a tail end of it, maybe it was verbalized, but I really haven't seen anything here that says this is what we're going to do in terms of changing minds and habits. And maybe that's through additional personnel training and other and programs, but that is more important as well as what's being indicated here in writing.
Mr. Cato.
Yes, Director Yule, I make that commitment. That is what we're going to do. We're working on the changes and the expectations and the cultural shift to communicate more effectively with our customers.
I think if I were to summarize what Mr. Yule said, it's our job is not running trains and buses. It's moving people. It's the customers that we need to focus on. Mr. Zimmerman.
How and when will be the first opportunity to evaluate the new approach?
Well, I know we're going to have one of the things that we want to do. We've looked at some of the existing market research that we have on what customers have told us they would like us to do. What we intend to do is to do some more of that, some additional market research, and something that our market research folks are looking at me and hoping that I don't say, but that I'm going to say, is that focus groups. We want to bring focus groups, bring customers in and talk to them about what do they like that we're doing in terms of how we communicate, what they don't like that we're doing in terms of how we communicate, because sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, we need to do all these different things. And that's based on what we think. We want to engage and talk to our customers and find out what do they think that we need to do and what do they like that we're doing. Continue to engage groups like the RAC and MetroRiders.org and you know, get their kind of feedback to some of the new things that we're going to be doing.
Well, I was going to ask, and I'm glad to hear you're remembering to talk to the Riders Advisory Council about this, but what I really meant was when you implement all of this stuff, and let me say, I hear all the right words here, and
right.
I'm glad to hear that, but I'm going on a decade in this place,
right.
And Metro gets a bad rap for a lot of things that are unfair, a lot of criticism for things that I don't think recognize that the agency actually does well. If there's one area in which I feel frustrated over the years at trying to get much change, this is it. And this is the thing that we've continually not figured out how to do, which is basically talk to the customers, especially in situations of some kind of emergency or some kind of problem when things don't work. And we've had this conversation in this room quite a few times. So, you know, it's a different group of folks, and, you know, you guys deserve a fair shot at making it work this time. But I'm a little less elated maybe than some because I've heard it before. So I really want to see results, and I want to see results really soon. And what I'm interested in is the first time there's an opportunity to see how you're doing,
mm-hmm.
I want to know, and this is obviously for you, Mr. Cato, that management is seizing upon that opportunity to evaluate how the system is working the first time there's an opportunity. So it doesn't have to be as bad a crisis as we had last August, Mr. Francis and I talked about,
yeah.
You know, with that whole major thing, but there are minor things that occur. And what I want to know is that when that happens, that you not only have the system in place to do things differently or elements of it, but that you have the system in place to ask immediately afterwards, how did we do, and compare it to the baseline of what we've been doing before. so that you're getting feedback right away about how your people are doing, what they're doing differently, what they're not doing differently, so that in the minor incident that's going to happen next week or the week after, you immediately have feedback to put into the one that's going to happen 2 weeks after that, so that by the time the major incident occurs within the next few months, that certainly will happen, you're already going to be able to show a difference. And that's what I'm really looking for. Are you in a position to evaluate the performance as soon as the situation arises that you're trying to put this in place for?
Mr. Chair.
If I can answer. Go ahead, Mr.
Francis. And then Ms. Hudgens, and then Mr. Graham.
If I can answer that question, the evaluation process started since I got here. Each and every incident that we go through, each and every announcement that an operator makes, whether there's a planned event, unscheduled, or whatever, has to be evaluated. Each time we ride the train from a supervisor's standpoint and we're making the right announcements, are we making station announcements? All that is evaluation process. How our station managers handle these type of situations or how the station manager greets the customers, it's an evaluation process. So I guess what I'm saying is, it didn't start now, it has started. And it's going to take a little time, but not a lot of time, because we're getting the word out to our operators and we're getting the word out to our station managers. We have debrief sessions after every incident that takes place to make sure that we got the word out, that we got the announcements out. I have some other materials in my binder, even for how the bus operation control center integrates with the rail control center, how the bus operators and so forth. So it's going to be an ongoing process. I hope to be here many, many years, and it's going to continue as long as I'm here. We are going to put a system in place that our customers, Mike Snyder and the RAC group, and our customers will help us evaluate the process as we go on.
Over to that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ms. Hudgens?
I just wanted to extend my concerns or point that I think what we're looking for is consistency. I'll give you a story. I think consistency to me means that throughout the system, as you've indicated, we see our customers as a primary and that we communicate with them. And more importantly, we have as much trust in them as we're asking them to put in us, so they have information they can share. The example I want to give is that we had an incident. We had a station manager that did not communicate well at all. But, and it's not often that it happens with us, someone communicated it to us, they communicated it to the system, and the customer really received a response before we generally can get a chance to write you a letter. And that's a good news piece. The inconsistency is that the first should never have happened, but the fact that it did and there was a good response and that there was the ability to be able to explain to the customer what happened and that they would have feedback is important. And that, I hope, in the plan is what we're talking about, consistency, because that good news piece at least left that one customer feeling better than they did after they first encountered an unfortunate incident. And that, I think, will remain with our customers much more than the bad experiences. So the more we can do that, I think we are making that improvement. I see it incrementally, but I think it has to be consistent. And I hope as we roll this out that we're letting people know that this is indeed what we're doing, that it's not ready yet, but we expect at some point to be able to say we're in a good shape and we know how to communicate with our customers and they can rely upon us.
Mr. Chair, may I just respond? I couldn't agree more. I had an incident or a situation happen just this morning before this meeting started where one of my fellow employees came up and said to me, you know, wow, I was on a train going home last night and the operator on that train did such a great job making great announcements, letting us know what was going on in the system, et cetera, et cetera. That needs to be the rule. That shouldn't be the surprise, like, wow, I had a great train operator that made great announcements. That has to become the overwhelming rule and not the exception to the rule, and that's what this program is about doing.
Mr. Graham.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I want to continue on the line of Mr. Zimmerman because I have exactly the same reaction. In January, I begin my 10th year on this board, and we have been through this again and again and again, so much so that I actually authored a resolution, which this board passed, saying that in the case of escalator elevator breakdowns, you had to post a sign. Well, everybody has little stories. Let me tell you a little story. In September, I showed up with the mayor of the District of Columbia walking to take, it was a car-free day, to take the subway to work. And we went to the U Street station where I almost want to say, and I will say, I guess, of course, the escalator wasn't working. And, you know, when we approached it, we could see, oh, my God, we had three TV cameras, and here we're approaching the broken escalator at U Street, still again. And miraculously, they did bring the escalator back into service. We only were delayed a little bit, as they said, well, we'll bring it. But anyway, the point is, or maybe it was the other side, the point is that there was a sign. It was crudely done, but there was a sign. I thought, oh, well, the board policy has been heeded in this case, and a little glow came to my face. But it had completion date in the year previous. Did you hear that, Mr. Cato?
Yes, you did.
The completion date was 2006. You know, I think we have a lot of great people working for Metro WMATA. I really do, and they're doing things under very trying circumstances. But I'm not sure, Mr. Francis, the message has gone out. Because this didn't happen a year ago or 6 months ago. This happened a few days ago. And you know, the message needs to be that when we have a system failure, whether it be on the escalator or the train, the bus, whatever, we need to communicate. But we've been saying that in all the time I've been on this board. And even to the point, you know, people said, well, Jim, don't pass a resolution. That's just too, you know, unneeded, you know. But I wanted to, and here we have an actual board policy relating to this, and it's just not completely absorbed into the workforce. Mr. Francis, what are you going to do about this? Please tell me, because this is beyond frustrating. Can you put out a memo at least, or can you have Mr. Feldman create some signs that we could, you know, maybe we could get some signs where, you know, how you wipe off the marker. You probably had these as a child.
Yeah,
you know, and you can put in system dysfunction, we're working on it, it will be completed by or about, and then you write in the date with one of those markers that can be later be erased. Can we create these signs?
Absolutely. That's part of the process, and as part of that, too, we're getting people to understand what year they're in, so we get the right year in at this time, too.
Okay, but you get the point. I mean, this is important to customers, and here we are today talking about, you know, a walloping fare increase. And these are the types of things that do not create goodwill within our customer base.
Mr. Monomy.
Yeah, I'll be brief. I think the challenge that we're all articulating here is that we have a very large agency that we're asking you to be as nimble as a small business, and that's a challenge. I think we should all recognize that it's not something that's easy. I work with 1/10 the size of the staff you work with, and I know the challenge you have. I think the question is, and I think it went to your point about expectations, I think we need to be clear about what the expectations are going to be. And then secondly, I think it is about culture. I think good companies that are good at customer service, it's a cultural issue. Southwest Airlines, they just do it well. And it's inculcated all the way down to the frontline person. I think that we can talk about signs, and we can talk about protocol, we can talk about process, but it really is about a culture of being focused on people. And I think that's what gets to the heart of the issue. I think that's what we're asking. And how do we do that? It's an easy thing to say. It's a harder thing to do. And I think that's at the core of your challenge.
Yes. But we're committed to that, and we will be making those changes, as well as a lot of the steps that we talked about today. But you're right, it is a deeper issue within the organization, and it's one that we're focusing on across the board. And this is just one of the many steps that we're taking to make that change in culture.
Mr. Kaufman.
To close on a lighter note, this morning on the Yellow Line pulling out of Pentagon City, the operator announced next station Pentagon, the last station in the Commonwealth of Northern Virginia. That was a magnificent mistake.
We knew what train you were on, sir.
I'm going to about a movement, Dana?
maybe the station, the operator was.
Mr. Kaufman has announced that his was the last comment, so I guess we will adjourn the meeting. Wait a minute.
Mr. Benjamin, if you'd allow me, I just wanted to remind the board and attendees in the room that it is both Crime Prevention and Fire Prevention Month, and you have staff from Safety Emergency Management and the Transit Police out with crime prevention literature and information on smoke detectors and fire extinguishers, and I would encourage everybody to avail themselves. And, of course, usually October is when we encourage people to change the batteries because that's when the time changes. That's been moved back to November, but just wanted to draw attention to those two important topics, crime prevention and fire prevention.
Ms. Hanson, these are the people who are out front here?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The two tables outside the room.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do appreciate that. This meeting is adjourned.